Lord, we thank you, we love you, we need you, Lord. So much has happened from week to week. God, if I didn't have your word, I wouldn't know what to do. I promise you I would lose it. But thank you, I can read that word, and it tells me how you are the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. Everything that is in heaven and earth is yours, Lord. You reign over all and you're exalted above all. Thank you, Lord, that your word tells us, Lord, that all things work together for good to them that love God, who are called according to your purpose. Thank you for your word, Lord, that watches over us, Lord. Thank you for your word that's a lamp, a light, and it's life. It leads, it talks, and it guides. Thank you for your word, Lord. So we ask right now that you would speak to us through your word. Bless your people to hear. Bless them to receive what the Spirit of God is speaking to his people this morning. God, we love you. We bless you. We thank you. Let it be that lamp unto our path and the light unto our pathway, Lord. Allow us to see, God, as we try our best to navigate through this dark, fallen, and broken world. God, we need you and we need your word. We open our hearts and minds to receive right now. Holy Spirit, speak to your people, to the hearts of your people. Remind them of how special they are, how they're sealed with the Holy Spirit. It's the down payment and part of the inheritance, Lord. The special treasure that we are to you. Speak to your people now through your word. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we're still on the I am statement, the Good Shepherd. So we will be talking about Christ as the Good Shepherd, not to be confused with the false prophets and the bad shepherds that are out there. This morning, I'll just try and demonstrate how it's no comparison of shepherds. No one's done for us what Christ has done for us. So we pick it up at John 10. And I'll read verses 9 through 11. Jesus says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter, he shall be saved. We go through Christ to be saved. Amen. Make a note. Shall go in and out and find provision, pasture, or food provision. He does a comparison of the thief. The thief cometh not, verse 10, but to steal and to kill and to destroy. Christ says, I am come that they might have life. Thank you, Lord. And that we might have it more completely. We might have a superior life. We might have an extraordinary life. We will have a complete life and a blessed life in Christ. Then he says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Put a star by that, underline that if you haven't already. It's going to be my theme scripture for today, what I'm going to springboard off of. Verse 11, again, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. So I thought about that and how that relates to us, how great of a shepherd Christ is, to give his life from the sheep, not a hireling that runs and runs faster to escape the savage wolves that are coming. So as I'm looking at it and what Christ did for us, it takes me to Romans 5. Let's look at Romans 5. Takes me to Romans 5 and 6. But y'all know I'm all over the place. I mean, I really had some issues. I wanted to go right to Romans 5, 6. The Good Shepherd says, for when we were, 5 and 6, for when we were yet without strength, when we were at our weakest point, when we were feeble, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. That's a good shepherd. That's what a good shepherd does. Not when you're at your best. When we were at our worst, Christ was at his best. When we didn't care about God at all, he cared so much about us that not only did he say it, but he proved it and he demonstrated and displayed it by dying on the cross for us. So I was just trying to go to verse 6 and move on. But God said, no, somebody needs to hear 5 and 1. So look at verse 5, chapter 5 and verse 1 of Romans. It says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's a good shepherd. Make a note that we have peace with God through Christ Jesus. God's not upset with you. God's not upset with me. God's not angry with us. But because of Christ Jesus, we have peace with God. Peace being harmony, safety, and security. You can have a security system, but that don't mean you're going to be safe. Somebody say amen. They will disarm that thing and come in and jack you up and take everything you got. But the peace in the Greek, it says peace is not only security, but it's also safety and harmony. So God gives us security. He gives us safety. He gives us harmony. And it's justified, underline justified. Justified. We've been rendered righteous. We're innocent. We've been acquitted. So since we've been acquitted by trusting God, this is verse 1:5, since we've been acquitted by trusting God, we have harmony with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Gets better. Verse 2, by whom also we have access, or we can approach by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. So we're able to approach God because we trust in God and we have peace through Jesus Christ. We're able to approach God by trusting God into his grace. Oh, my Lord. The grace of God. Grace of God, we've said it before, deserves repeating. The sweetness, the joy, the pleasantness, the charm, the kindness, the favor, the gift, the benefit and the bounty of God. By whom also, verse 2 again, by whom also we can approach because we trust in him, into his pleasantness, into his sweetness, into his kindness, his loving favor, wherein we stand. That's our foundation. We stand on that. The grace of God. Why? Because by grace are you saved through faith. It is the gift of God. And it says, and we rejoice in hope. We celebrate in our confidence in God, our trust in God. And then to the glory of God. And that glory is the doxa. I love that word. The brilliance, the magnificent. You got to remember that glory is an adjective. Someone says to the glory of God, and it seems like it just goes together, but they're separate. What's the glory of God? Here's the glory. The glory is the brilliance. It's the magnificence. It's the splendor. It's the brightness. It's the majesty. It's the preeminence. And it's the excellence of God, the Trinity. So we stand and then we rejoice in hope and confidence. Why? In the brilliance of God. Well, I was excited about that. But then it gets better. But look what it says. And not only this, but we glory. But then that's a different glory. This glory in verse 3 is the glory which means to rejoice. I don't know how, family, but this is what the word is saying. But because of all that, but because we have the peace and we have access to God and the brilliance of God and the hope and the confidence in God, then it says, well, you just can't park there. In verse 3, not only so, but we glory, we rejoice in tribulations. Wow, okay. Somebody make a note of that. Remember, I was trying to go to verse 6. He had me come back. And so I need you to talk about this. He said, we rejoice in tribulation. I'm not there yet, I have to admit it, family. I'm trying to get there, but I'm not there. Tribulation, the pressure, the affliction, the anguish, the distress, the burden, the persecution, and the trouble. See, that's what we're rejoicing at. Ooh, boy, that's a message for you. This ain't no prosperity message. name it and claim it and grab it and blab it. It said in tribulation, that's when we rejoice. We got to be happy about that. Let me give you what tribulation means. And then I summed it up. Tribulation, pressure, affliction, anguish, distress, burden, persecution, trouble. And then I put in parentheses, a grown kid. And you got to rejoice in it. Whatever your parenthesis, that was mine. I'm not talking about it. That was mine. That's my parenthesis. But look, he says, we glory in tribulation also knowing, being confident that in all these things it worketh. Let me find my definition of worketh. It worketh, it causes, it creates, it achieves, it forms. So all this tribulation, it creates patience, which is perseverance and endurance and consistency. Let me say that again. So as you're going through tribulation, it's forming something. It's creating something. As we're going through, family, it's creating patience. And the patience is the perseverance and the endurance and the consistency. And then look at verse 4. And the perseverance and the patience and the consistency, it produces, it creates experience. Amen? Anybody ever been through something? So experience, the word for experience, it produces character. A new word, it's called trustiness. That's what it said in the Greek. So your tribulation, which creates perseverance, it creates your character and your trustiness. It's proof, and experience also means experiment and a trial. So God, you trying to send me through you got me in some type of experiment, God? Are you serious? And this trial is an experiment to see where I really stand? Do I have any trust? Can I trust in you? Do I have the character to stick with God? Or am I going to do my own thing? Are you serious? Trustiness? God, why are you experimenting with me? Amen? He tells us why. You got experience again, and hope. Expectation of good, confidence. Everything that we go through is pushing us into the hope and the confidence. And then hope maketh not ashamed, verse 5. You're not ashamed because you're going through with a smile on your face. You're not ashamed because you still have honor and dignity and character as you go through when others are falling apart. You're not ashamed of that because you're connected to Christ Jesus. And that's what makes all the difference. And hope maketh not ashamed because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. And in the midst of all that, we rely on the Holy Ghost, which has filled us and sealed us, to remind us of, as we're going through, that it's just an experiment, it's a trial, to see what type of character I have, and am I going to stand on that and stand on the Word of God. And He's already told us that when we're going through, that we have the peace. We have harmony with God. We have access to God. We have faith in God. We have the grace of God. And then we rejoice in the hope and the glory, the brilliance, the majesty, the excellence of God. Now go through with dignity and with honor. And let God work the experiment out in your life and trust Him with the details. And then he takes it to verse 6 where I was trying to go. He said, we're dealing with all that. I want to know let you know where you stand with God. And now he's saying that while we were yet sinners, when we were at our weakest point, God was at his best and God died for us. Verse 7, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die, very rarely, amen? For a righteous man will one die, and perhaps for a good man, some would even dare to die. Verse 8, but God commended his love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Make sure you have that highlighted in your Bible if you don't already, and underline. When it talks about Christ dying for the ungodly, underline ungodly. It says the wicked, those who had no respect for him. Isn't that something? I don't even know if we would loan anybody a dollar that had no respect for us. But this is what a good shepherd does. That's why Christ is the good shepherd. When it says demonstrated, he proved, he displayed, he showed his love towards us. It says while we were yet in our sins, the Greek, in the sin for that in Greek says wicked, devoted to sin, especially wicked, heathens. Checked off a few boxes myself on that one. While we were yet in our sins, wicked, devoted to sin, especially wicked, heathens, Christ died for you and me. That's the best news I've heard all day. Somebody say amen. It's the best news I've heard all day. And it's not a dishonor to be joyful as we're going through. It's honorable. Verse 9, much more than being now justified by his blood, being justified by the blood of Jesus, rendered righteous, innocent, acquitted. Amen. We stand before God and the enemy's going to try and say all this stuff and Jesus is going to step in and say they're acquitted. They're innocent. No, but do you remember what they did and all that? Acquitted. Much more than being now justified. How? Not because of what we did, but by his blood. That's the only thing that makes us righteous. We shall be saved. We shall be rescued from the wrath through him. Underline that. We're going to be saved from the wrath of God because the blood covers all of our sins. Now make a note, family. We're saved from the wrath of God, right? But we're not saved from the judgment of God or the disciplining of God or the testing of God. Amen? Okay? Make sure, so it doesn't mean we're going through life and it's no, that's not what it's saying. Now you have those, and when they talk about we're going to be here after the tribulation, pre-tribulation, we're going to get raptured before the tribulation or after the tribulation. The tribulation period is when the wrath of God is coming. Now, we're saved because of the blood. So that's why this is a scripture I would say that I would use to let people know we're not going to be here. We're going to be raptured up when the wrath of God comes because I already said we're saved from the wrath of God. We're still going to have to deal while we're here. We got with the judgment. We're going to stand before God. The disciplining and the testing, we still have to deal with that, but not the wrath of God. Says we've been saved, which means rescued, preserved, delivered, and kept safe. That's what saved means in verse 9. Okay, let me tell you again what saved means in the Greek in verse 9. Rescued, preserved, delivered, and kept safe. Somebody say amen. The blood of Jesus causes the wrath of God to pass over us. Because God sees us as innocent. So, of course, you have to do the tie-in here. Somebody say, you have to do the tie-in. Let's go to Exodus. Who's working with me this morning? Darius, take us to Exodus 12 and 21. Now it talks about the Passover, how the blood, when they put the blood on the doorposts and the sides, and the wrath of God passed over. But now we have a sacrifice, the Lamb of God, that takes away the sins of the world. And by the way, make a note that the Passover, when Christ was crucified, it was the Passover. Right, it was a Passover. The ultimate Passover. They were celebrating the Passover. They crucified Christ, and the blood of Christ saved those that would receive him from our sins. And so when I talk to my Jewish buddies, you can't make this up. Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said unto them, draw out and take your lambs according to your families and kill the Passover. Next verse. 22, Darius. Next verse. And you should take a bunch of hyssop, dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel, which is the top of the door, and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you should go out of the door of his house until in the morning. Hey, guys, there's some obedience that comes with that, too. You go out if you want to. You can take this as a game and say, well, I'm not going to do all that God tells me. I'm covered by the blood. I wouldn't recommend it. I'm going to live raggedy because I'm covered by the blood. I wouldn't recommend it. I wouldn't recommend it. It's obedience that comes with this. I love this. The blood of Christ covers us. Man, this is a good shepherd. It's a great shepherd. We don't have to be responsible or accountable for the sins that we are. We're all responsible, but we're not. It's not used against us. Amen? Well, we wouldn't make it. I don't know about y'all. Y'all know we wouldn't make it nowhere. And we're at verse 23. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians, and when he seeth the blood upon the top of the doorpost and the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses to kill you. And you shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and your sons forever, your generation forever. The Jews still partake in the Passover to this day. Why? Because God told them to, and they remember this. Verse 25, it shall come to pass when you come to the land which the Lord will give you according as he hath promised, that you shall keep this service. Don't ever forget what God has done for you and keep this service. We know this is a type and shadow of Christ. Somebody say amen. It's an obvious type of shadow of Christ. This is Christ in the Old Testament. Verse 26, shall come to pass when your children shall say unto you, what do you mean by this service? Then you should say, as the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he killed the Egyptians and delivered our houses, and the people bowed the head and worshiped. And that's why we need to have our children in church, amen? Why I got to go to church? Because this stuff just don't happen. Because God's been good to us even before you were born. That's why. I don't care what the culture is saying. We serve a God that does not change. God said, your kid's going to ask you, why y'all putting this stuff? Why y'all having a Passover? Why y'all doing it? Because you don't understand that God delivered us. And if we would have came out, if we wouldn't have done it that night, if we would have came out in disobedience, we'd be dead and your little butt wouldn't be here. Verse 28, the children of Israel went away and did as the Lord, underline it, did as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron, so did they. That's obedience. God has been so good to us. Why we got to go to church? I don't think I need to. You just don't understand. If you're living in the house, you're coming. You got to understand, this stuff just doesn't happen, family. Just doesn't happen. I remember when our kids were little and they would go spend a night at a friend's house, right? They come on. I thought everybody lived like we didn't even have three meals a day. It just don't happen. I know people. Yeah, I was hungry in the middle of the day. We only had two meals. Well, you think this just happens? You don't understand what God has done. Why do we go? This is why we come. So you'll never forget, so you won't get old and think that you don't need God.
Amen.
So make a note with this too. This is part of the circumstantial evidence. Because you had thousands of Jews that stopped doing the Passover and started taking communion. So when people were telling you that the resurrection didn't happen, you asked them, why did thousands of Jews stop doing Passover and started doing communion? Because God said, you do this forever. It's not just what you, not just one or two, but thousands said, you know what? The Passover, we appreciate it, but now we're Christians, we take communion. Because that's what Jesus told us to do. And after he resurrected, he reminded us to do that. And so now we're saved, we take communion. I could see if two people did, you could say they made it up. They conspired and they're trying to start. But you're talking about thousands of Jews who knew what God had done for them with the Passover, stopped the Passover, and say, now we take communion. And you still have the Messianic Jews, and they do both. They're Christians, but they still will participate in their Jewish culture and customs, but they've accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior. But this is the circumstantial evidence of the resurrection. You can ask anybody that. Did Jesus, so he wasn't even here, he's a figment of you. I mean, I've heard all kind of just crazy stuff. But why did the Jews stop doing Passover and start taking communion? Why did thousands of them do it? All right, let's finish this up. Yeah, we got time to finish it. Amen? Let's go back to John. I'm sorry. Let's go back to Romans 5 and 10. Let's finish this up. If you're there, say amen. Let's start with 5 and 9, Romans 5 and 9. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved, rescued from wrath through him. Amen. Thank you, Lord. We saw how you did it with the Passover, and we know that Christ was the ultimate Passover lamb that saved us from our sins. Verse 10, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we should be saved by his life. So we were enemies of God. Reconciled means to be restored to harmony with God. You couldn't do that on your own. What's the song say yesterday? Lord, if you don't do anything else, you've already done enough. God, to restore, through Jesus, to restore me back to harmony with God, the creator of it all. God, you've done enough. Thank you. Bless you, Lord. If you don't do anything else, trust me, that is enough. To rescue and save my eternal soul from death, hell, sin, and the grave. That's a good shepherd. Make a note, that's a good shepherd. Lays down his life for the sheep so that we could be restored back to harmony with God. Verse 11. And not only so, it says, look what it says. Not only do we have the love, the justification, the salvation, and the reconciliation. Not only so, if that wasn't enough, let me say it again. If the love, if that wasn't enough, if the justification, the love is an unconditional brotherly love, it actually says a love feast of God, the justification of God, rendered righteous, innocent, acquitted of God, the salvation, rescued, delivered, preserved, and kept safe through God, the reconciliation, restored to harmony with God. He says, now we also joy. As if the other, if the love and the justification and salvation and restoration wasn't enough, now we got joy, we can rejoice in God. And look what else we get. We also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we now have received the atonement. Atonement, again, is restoration, and atonement is also an exchange. You know what was exchanged? Amen. Our sins for life. Us going to hell, and now us going to heaven. That's what the exchange was. Exchanged everything. Jesus on the cross and not us. Atonement, restoration, exchange, restoration to favor. And atonement also means the reconciliation, restored to harmony with God. That's what the Good Shepherd provides for us. That's what a Good Shepherd does for us. And it said at the right time and in God's time. And we're going to pick it up there next week. So if you would, oh my gosh, just bow your head. As I was going through these words, reconciliation, harmony, delivered, preserved, kept safe, unconditional brotherly love, rendered righteous, innocent, acquitted, joy, rejoicing, exchange, restoration to favor, the Passover, peace with God. We can approach God. Lord, we just thank you this morning. God, we need to understand our relationship with you. How much you love us, what the Good Shepherd has done for us. Not to use and abuse and to take advantage of us like the bad shepherd, but dying for our sins, rescuing us, delivering us, saving us, restoring us to favor, exchange, making an exchange. You don't have to die. You come to paradise. You're in Christ. You come right to paradise, and you don't have to be judged based upon your sins. Exchanging the innocent for the guilty. God, if you don't do anything for else for us, you've already done enough. As we go through tribulation, Lord, let us understand that you're just building us up to look like you. You're experimenting, you're testing us to see what we're made of. But we're to take joy in that, Lord, because we have peace with God. Through Jesus Christ, we can approach you through faith, through trusting, through prayer. God, you're always there. That's a good shepherd. You will test us. You will discipline us. You will judge us on that final day, God. But we know that our sins are covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. And the wrath of God passes over us. Thank you for being a good shepherd. God, let us study this word. Let us live this word. When we walk out of here knowing that we serve a good shepherd, he's covered and restored and blessed us, given us life and a superior life. We go through our trials and our tribulations. We have a God that cares, that's near, that hears, that answers, that loves, that leads, that speaks, that provides. So we bless you now, Lord. Bless your people to hear. Bless us to live this, not only to hear it and receive it, but allow it to transform our life. We don't live raggedy because we're covered by the blood. We live righteously and honorably, even in tribulation. And we're not ashamed of living right as we go through. We're determined to bless you at all times, that your praise shall continually be in our mouth. Thank you, Lord, that you've come to give us life, and that more abundantly. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Put your hands together for the Lord. Stand to your feet, give someone a hug, and you are dismissed. Come next Sunday praying and fasting, believing, expecting.